we want to note a moment in the battle against cancer. According to a report from the American Cancer Society, cancer death rates overall have been dropping for at least 25 years. The rate dropped 27% between 1991 and 2016, meaning about 2.6 million fewer cancer deaths than expected during that period. Yay. But there are some outliers to the trend. The number of prostate cancer deaths is no longer dropping. It's flat. And the number of obesity-related cancer deaths is rising. Dr. Daryl Gray is Deputy Director of the Center for Cancer Health Equity at Ohio State University. Dr. Gray, your thoughts about the overall drop. Can we assume the campaign against smoking has played a part here?
Absolutely. So this is good news, as you highlighted, that we are making progress, particularly for those cancers that are amenable to prevention, lifestyle, and screening strategies. And particularly, you highlighted smoking. Yes, that is contributing to a decline not only in lung cancer, but other smoking-related cancers, such as breast cancer and colorectal cancer. And as I mentioned, you know, those cancers for which we have good screening strategies, such as for colorectal cancer screening, breast cancer screening with mammography, we are making significant progress, and we have, and I expect we'll continue to do so. But also, as you highlighted, there are other cancers that we have to be mindful of improving cancer mortality and death rates.
Yeah, let's take a look at that as well. The deaths from prostate cancer were also dropping for two decades. I think the rate was halved over two decades. Now it's flattened out. Why do you think that is?
There are a couple of reasons, and you highlight prostate cancer, but there are other cancers for which the death rates are increasing, such as uterine or brain, as well as pancreas cancer. And I think for all of those, you know, we need better strategies for screening, identifying those who are at high risk for developing those cancers, but also better prevention strategies as well. And this is a growing area of research, and particularly I know there are a lot of investigators who are out there trying to reverse this trend that we're seeing.
Well, let's take them one at a time. Prostate, for instance. Some researchers, according to the Associated Press, are wondering whether the trend might have changed because of a 2011 decision by the Preventive Services Task Force to stop recommending routine testing of men using the PSA blood test. Is that sparking anything within you that perhaps?
Yeah, certainly that is controversial. And I think what we've learned over time is, number one of the best identifiers for those who might be at high risk for developing prostate cancer is family history. So it's important not only that folks who are at risk or even not at risk for prostate cancer know their history and can discuss that with their healthcare provider, but that also healthcare providers be attuned to those risk factors and then recommend appropriate guideline-based screening.
And according to the Cancer Society report, poor women have twice as many deaths from cervical cancer as affluent women do. Lung cancer mortality is far more prevalent, 40% higher in poor men compared to affluent men. So it sounds like getting messaging out about pre-screening, about stopping smoking, has to get to all communities.
Absolutely. And we've known this, particularly in public health circles for a while, that social determinants of health, and social determinants, I mean those conditions in which people are born, live, work, play, pray, and thrive, impact their health and their ability to get access to services, such as having a primary care provider, having access to cancer screening, and then utilizing it. Because for many, they're not even receiving the messages. They don't understand why it's important to get it. And if they even do get the message, they may have competing priorities, such as, you know, keeping the lights on in their house or paying the bills or getting the kids to school that prevent them or present barriers to them actually getting age-appropriate guideline-based screening.
And just briefly, obesity, the rate of cancer in the obese is rising, not just staying flat like prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. So are we seeing more of a correlation between obesity and cancers, or are cancers not able to be detected as well in people who are obese? What's happening there?
Yeah, it's multifactorial. At least two-thirds of the United States is overweight and obese. This is an epidemic. And we know that obesity does contribute to cancer. And what we've been understanding with research is that it's via kind of inflammation. So obesity can lead to inflammation that ultimately leads to development of cancer through a kind of cascade of events. And so we know that particularly for colorectal cancer, breast cancer, other cancers,
liver
that
cancer.
Obesity can contribute.
Liver cancer deaths have been increasing initially because of hepatitis C infections, now obesity.
Yes, whereas the old adage used to be, you know, if you're going to see people coming in with cirrhosis, which means chronic scarring of the liver or needing a transplant, those are going to be primarily those with hepatitis C infections. But we're seeing that NASH, or non-alcoholic steatohepatitis, which is a fancy word of saying fatty liver, ultimately leading to development of end-stage liver disease, and which can be a risk factor for cancer, that is increasing dramatically.
That's Dr. Daryl Gray, Deputy Director of the Center for Cancer Health Equity at Ohio State University, on the new report from the American Cancer Society. Overall cancer rates dropping, great news, but rising in the obese, and stubborn flattening out on prostate cancer. We'll keep following this. Dr. Gray, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.